This episode is brought to you by Rocky Mountain PBS and 104.7 The Drop. Because The Drop aims to inspire people towards deeper, more meaningful connections with their community through the celebration of urban alternative music, arts, and culture. They're all about creating a unique sound that's locally rooted with global reach. From the morning mix block to new music discovery or to hear your favorite current or throwback hip-hop and urban alternative, 104.7 The Drop has something for everyone. You can listen online or via the Drop 303 app anytime, anywhere. Or if you're in the Denver area, you can catch 104.7 The Drop on air.
Today on CityCast Denver, summer is my absolute favorite time to live in Colorado. And the air quality isn't even that bad. Yet. So me and newsletter editor Peyton Garcia and our regular host Bree Davies are sharing some of our favorite ways to make the most of our pre-smog summer. Today is Friday, June 3rd, 2022. I'm Paul Caroli, and this is CityCast Denver. Welcome back to CityCast Denver. We're talking about the news of the week, which was kind of scant this week, in my opinion. So we just said, screw it. Let's talk about fun summer stuff we like to do instead.
So we're not talking about the news of the week.
Not really.
Because there wasn't much locally happening.
Right. Of course. But yeah, we wanted to just have a fun conversation about good stuff to do in the summer. And so we all picked out some things that we like. I'm very excited to talk about the two things that I have picked out. I feel like these are things that I've been sitting on in one case, years, that I can't believe other people aren't talking about. But anyway, we'll get to it. I'm here with Bree, our host, regular host.
Hi, Paul.
And Peyton Garcia, our newsletter writer.
Yep. Hello, Paul.
So who wants to start? Who wants to start with a fun summer thing?
I'll start.
Okay.
You know, I'm a concert goer. That's probably the biggest thing I do outside of, quote, work. And things have changed now that I have a kid. I'm looking for more options for families. And I'm super stoked. First concert for us for the season outside will be at Levitt Pavilion this weekend. We're going to see Thievery Corporation. Levitt Pavilion is in Ruby Hill Park in Southwest Denver. Mm-hmm. And they have a ton of free concerts. So they have ticketed concerts, which is cool. But they also have free ones. And it's a really great way to me to get your family together to go to a show. You can bring a blanket. It's an outdoor grassy amphitheater. We bring dinner, ear protection for babies, also always important. But we've got Montgomery. We're going to take him to see, this will be like his eighth concert since he was born, so it's not like a big deal to him or whatever, but it'll be our first outdoor show of the season. And we get to meet up with some friends, and I grew up going to the Botanic Gardens shows, and I was actually looking at their calendar, and a lot of their stuff is already sold out. So Levitt is another option.
What's the deal with those free concerts at Levitt? Is that like a city thing? I don't really know how that works.
You know, they're a nonprofit, so I think they do fundraising and I'm assuming they get some city money. They are in a city park, but I know that a lot of it is offset from donations. They sell concessions there as well. So it's also, that's the thing. You can bring dinner if you want, but they always have great food trucks. So there's other ways to contribute. They have a bar. Mm-hmm. And I think also the money that they make from the ticketed events probably helps offset that cost. But they're really, really set on making sure that there's plenty of options for free shows throughout the summer, especially for the surrounding community, because it's in a public park, you know? So I love that they do that. Botanic Gardens is a little different. It's a ticketed space. It's pricier. They have delicious food too, but they also have this thing called Evenings Al Fresco where you can go and wander the gardens, and they have musicians set up throughout. And this is booked, I think, by our friend Bruce Trujillo.
List. Swallow Hill, of course.
Yeah, because it's a Swallow Hill thing. And I just know Bruce's taste. She's got great taste. And they've got different local artists all the way through August. And that's also just another way, I think, for folks to get into local music in a way where you don't have to super commit to going to a full show.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and wander around. It's on Monday and Wednesday evenings. Music starts at 5:30 p.m. Also, it's so nice to be in the Botanic Gardens.
Mm.
Why not add some live music? Also, it's an all ages family friendly option as well. So,
can I just say that I love that you're taking Montgomery to these things at such an early age? Because I know so many people who just like will stop doing the things that they love, especially stuff like that, like live music, because they have a baby. But I just think that's awesome that you're finding stuff that you can take him to and exposing him to that. That's something that I hope to do. You know, like one of the things I was going to talk about today was food festivals. And I've already like thought of all the different ways that I'm like, we can still do this when we have kids.
Oh,
we can
totally.
Absolutely bring our kids to these things.
Totally. And like, you know, Greg's a musician, so this is just part of our lives. But growing up, Greg's dad worked at the DCPA. Greg was backstage and at shows from infancy.
Hmm.
So it was sort of ingrained in him. Like, this is what we do. And so, yeah, Montgomery's already been backstage at the Fillmore. He's been, you know, he's been at shows at everywhere. And it's, I don't know. I think if it's a place that's friendly to kids, why not? Because there's some instances where it's like, okay, my husband has tried to take our baby to a bar. And I'm like, honey, this is a bar. Like, and they've been like, excuse me, sir, you can't have your baby in here. But there's a lot of options that just take a little bit of extra thought when you're bringing your kid.
Well, all right, Peyton, you invoked the food festivals. Let's go there next. Tell us which food festivals you're excited about.
Summer is food festival season. I love it. I go to like all of them. Full disclosure, I used to work for Dining Out magazine and Dining Out events, and they put on a lot of the food festivals around here. Most notably, they do Chicken Fight, which just happened a few weeks ago at the end of May. They've got Top Taco coming at the end of this month in June. They did another one called The Wedding Festival, but that's a whole another can of worms. Burger Battle is happening at the beginning of August. That's one of my favorites. And they're just so fun. If you love to eat like I do, it's such a great way to sample different restaurants in just one bite, you know, and they bring their best. Like there's like a number of taco places that I've never eaten at, but I've tried multiple years in a row at these festivals. And it's just so fun, and the vibe is so fun, and there's usually like games, and there's lots of live music, and all you can eat food, all you can drink booze. It's such a blast. They're my favorite part of the summer.
That's what I was going to ask you. So I don't know if I've ever been to like a food festival like that's just food oriented. So you buy a ticket, and then that's kind of your entry to eat anything.
Yeah. So you pay, and I mean, like Top Taco and Chicken Fight, I mean, it's not cheap. I think you're paying like $100 more if you're VIP. I can't remember. I mean, I usually get tickets for free because I...
Because you're a media
person. Yeah, and I used to work for Dining Out, so I used to help with the event, so I would go in for free. But honestly, in my experience and when I've taken friends, the amount of money you're paying, if you can shell that out, you get well worth the amount of food, music, and booze that, you know, it covers that cost for sure. Oh, and Dining Out does a steak one too. Yeah, it's like $100 and you get like unlimited steak. Oh, it's so good. And
so good.
They always make it so fun. It's not like boring, like people just milling around eating. Like there's always live music and games, and it's just such a blast. And it, like I said, it's such a great way to sample different restaurants throughout the city in like quick little bites.
Hmm.
It's so fun.
The unlimited aspect I'm curious about. The only one of these I've ever been to is the Great American Beer Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a, you know, you can drink as much as you can handle.
I was going to say.
Late in the evening, that gets to be kind of a weird scene.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, to these food festivals, you ever have issues with that? Or like,
I mean, I've never, but maybe that's because Willie and I are also the imbibers. So like, we're probably the ones causing the scene. And like, they usually aren't doing, the ones that I go to, like, they're not usually doing beer. They're doing like hard alcohol. Like, you're getting little cocktail samples all night long. And so by the end of the night, it gets pretty rowdy. They go till really late. They go to like 11, and they've got like three stages for live music. I mean, it's a huge ordeal.
Where are these usually held?
We've done them at like Stanley Marketplace, like out in the outside area of Stanley Marketplace.
Beautiful place, yeah.
This year they actually did Chicken Fight at Elitch Gardens, which I didn't go to this year, but I said that to Willie, and he was like, roller coasters and unlimited fried chicken feels like not a great
I can hear mixture. Willie saying that, and I can totally agree with Willie. However, so, the grounds themselves would be perfect,
and I don't know if like the rides were off limits. I don't know. I don't know how they made it work, but that was interesting.
Maybe like a merry-go-round or like a
God, that would make me throw up. Oh my God, I'm worse. Like okay. Yeah.
It reminds me, I used to know some dudes that would like do this all you so at Casa Bonita they used to have an all you can eat mm-hmm. enchilada plate, and they would go and it was all you could eat enchiladas until you threw up.
Oh,
like that was the competition.
I'll tell you, this is
begging for a Casa Bonita food joke, but I will not make it. That's for the listeners to make for their themselves.
I will tell you, it is. If you're an amateur at these things, you're going to go and you're going to be unprepared. You're going to get four taco places in and not be able to eat anything else. It's real practice. Willie and I have it down to a T. We go in, we divide and conquer. You don't each get a taco from a place. You each get one taco and you share it. You share your cocktail.
Because it's really about the bite. Just
and
like
you
a
hit
bite.
The places. You go in and everyone flocks to the first tent, right? And then there's these long lines and you're trying to hit them like chronologically. That's not going to work. You have to go in with a strategy. Go to the other side. Take a lap. Find the places that look really good. Sample those first. Come back. Divide and conquer.
Skip the hyped place till later on.
Yeah. There's real strategy to it.
What's the number one festival that listeners can't miss, if you had to recommend one?
That hasn't happened yet, that they could still go to.
I would say out of the ones that Dining Out Events does, especially Top Taco, it's just so fun. And tacos are just one of those things where it's really easy. Like steak, it's kind of hard to do bites of steak all night long.
Yeah.
And even fried chicken, like...
There's a point.
There's and we did the chicken fight, and someone was giving out full... like giant drumsticks, like massive chicken drumsticks. And I was like, dude, you're wasting so much food. Like people are going to take two bites and throw that away. Tacos are such an easy one to do.
Mm-hmm.
So fun, so quick and easy. That would be the one. I'm also a really big fan of Burger Battle, but that's just because I have a special place in my heart for burgers. And they cut them into like fourths. So you're getting like mini burgers, but it is like a lot of work. You definitely want to like prepare your stomach.
Nice.
For those. And then, of course, Westward has Tacolandia happening this weekend, actually. I've never gone to Tacolandia. It's another food festival. I don't know how it stacks up to Top Taco, but that's happening this Saturday. And
I got to say, you know, same thing. I worked at Westward for a long time, so I went to these things for free. I always have a good time no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you're just game to whatever the event is and just, like, go in for the long haul, be ready. It's a blast.
Yeah, go to them. If you haven't gone to one, pick one to go to this summer. Go to them all. I'm going to go to them all. They're a blast.
Paul, you have been dying to talk about two specific things that you would not tell us about.
Yes.
About when we're talking about having a kick-ass summer. So start us. What's your first?
All right. The first one is the one I'm most excited about. And this is the one that I expect we'll be hearing a lot about from other people probably in about a week. But I haven't seen anything yet. Are you all familiar with the artist James Turrell?
Mm-mm.
I don't know. I'd have to see their work. Okay.
He is a light sculptor. His medium is light.
Oh, you did send me his
light and architecture.
Stuff.
And he's been actively working all around the world for decades. He's like 80 years old. He's probably most famous for his most ambitious and still incomplete work, the Rodin Crater, which is a property he bought. That's like a what do you call a volcano that's not a not active volcano? Dormant volcano in Arizona.
I was gonna say sleeping, but that's clear.
A sleepy volcano in Arizona. And he's like complete he's filled it up with these rooms that he specifically designs around apertures to allow light into them. And so the art itself is like these beams of light and color.
Whoa,
that you just go
Googled.
And experience. Yeah, like if you're familiar, like Kanye West cites him as an inspiration.
Oh, I could totally see that in some of his in Kanye's work. I could see that.
Exactly, right. So this guy James Turrell, one of his big projects is this still unfinished volcano thing in Arizona. But his other main project is he builds these installations all around the world called Sky Spaces, which are they're kind of just like rooms, like single room buildings. designed after Quaker meeting houses, but each of them has an aperture in the ceiling that are specifically made for like certain times of day for you to experience the sky, like to just observe the sky. And he's been working on one in Colorado, the first James Turrell installation in Colorado. It's opening just outside of Colorado Springs in Green Mountain Falls on June 18th. And they have a whole festival that's happening. That they're premiering a few other pieces from other people that I'm not as familiar with. But I cannot wait to drive an hour and a half down. And I don't know if I'm going to try to get there at sunrise or sunset or if there's some other specific time that they recommend. But I've always wanted to see one of this guy's pieces, and I can't believe it's finally in Colorado.
We're moving on up. I mean, again, a benefit of a growing city is we attract bigger artists, and this is amazing. I've never heard of him.
That's exciting. Yeah, his work is incredible. He sets it up so it frames the sky, right? So then you all go underneath it, and you look up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's supposed to be, like, they have accessibility options, so it's like a 15-minute long hike from a parking lot, but my understanding is that they have some vehicles that could take you up if you're not in a position to make that walk. So I don't know. It just sounds like they're doing this the right way, and like it's pretty easy to get to, and it just sounds beautiful. I can't wait to see it.
So you're going. Awesome. It's on your calendar.
100%
That's
going.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Winding through the canyon, her anticipation rose. Monarch Casino Resort Spa, the epitome of mountain chic. Her pulse raced as she sat down at a high-limit baccarat table. Hungry? She chose the Southwest fusion flavors of Bistro Mariposa before ascending to Bliss, a top-rated spa Monarch for a signature massage treatment. She slept well in her luxurious hotel room, fulfilled by her stay. Write your own story at monarchblackhawk.com.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, and we're back. CityCast Denver Friday, relaxing, chatting about summer. The best season in Denver, for sure, right?
I think so. Well, I don't know. Recent summers have made me appreciate the winter more because it gets so hot. But I will tell you, I'm in that moment where I don't remember what that's like, and I can't wait for it to be warm because this week's been kind of dreary.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all just itching to get out and do the things that we want to do.
I've been going back and forth with the folks at Waterworld, and they're just like, oh man, we really want to have you guys, but we've just not had a lot of operational days because the weather's been so crappy. So I'm really looking forward to it warming up.
Yeah, and we're in that sweet spot when it's nice, but the air quality is not too bad yet.
Yeah, that's the
and it's not like 101 part. Degrees at noon. And
yeah, it's tough.
All right, Peyton, hit us with another summer rec.
Yeah, so my real go-to all summer long is the mountains. Camping, backpacking, hiking, fishing. I just don't think that, I mean, I'm grateful every day that we're within an hour drive of the mountains. And if you're not taking advantage of that, then you're doing summer in Colorado wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so easy to find places, to find campsites that are within an hour drive. It doesn't have to be a big to-do. We regularly go on just one night camping trips.
That's a good way to think about it, because I think sometimes for people like me, I'm more of a novice or camping against my will person, but it feels like you have to plan some big endeavor that's multiple days and you have to have all this gear. And you've talked about this before, but it's really made me rethink it, the overnight.
Yeah, I mean, some nights when we just want to get away, we don't even like set up a tent. We make a little bed in the back of Willie's 4Runner and we grab a pack of hot dogs. And that's it. You go. And sometimes we don't even have a fire. You just go and you look at the stars and you enjoy the wilderness and you turn off your phone. And
Peyton, do you have a favorite campsite within an hour?
Go? Yeah, I do. I have a few. However, I've been sworn to secrecy by my husband. He was like, you can't give away our secret spots. So I will say this. It is easy to find places to camp. A quick Google search, will pull up a million people who like to camp in Colorado who have blogs, and they're dying to tell you about their hidden gems. It's really not hard. CPW, Colorado Parks Wildlife, is a great resource for finding camping. Some, you know, there's some that have reservations. There's some that don't. There, you know, and just kind of depends on what you're willing to pay. And I mean, we like to do these non-reservation ones, but you have to like kind of get up at the crack of dawn and scope them out. But it's good to have, you know, kind of a list of places to check out on any given day.
Well, I will not be so stingy. My next thing is also sort of a camping related, and my favorite way to do it is the one night camping trip. Pawnee Buttes, in my opinion, is the best place to see stars in Colorado. There's been a lot of talk about stargazing lately. Mm-hmm. I think the governor just named June like Dark Skies Month, and mm-hmm. there's been some effort in southern Colorado to create a new like big star or like dark sky preserve around the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. But I like the Pawnee Buttes, which is in the northeast part of the state, right out on the eastern plains. And it's great because they have a dispersed camping area, which means there's no like fire pit. There's no one designated spot for you to put your tent. You can just kind of like walk out onto the dirt and set up your tent anywhere. And you can go right up next to these two big buttes.
How far away is this?
It's about an hour and a half drive.
Okay.
Yeah. So like if you leave on Friday evening, you can get there before the sun goes down, set up your tent. And then by the time the sun is fully down, the stars are so beautiful. There's so little light pollution in this space. I mean, you'll see the Milky Way. If it's a clear night, you'll see the Milky Way. And isn't that what you want out of a stargazing trip, to be able to see it?
I love that. I love that. I really haven't known where to go to see. Like, that's not something I know, but I would love to go.
And I have to say, we think that we know what things look like the stars, right? We mm-hmm. see photos of them. The internet will show us anything we want. A couple of years ago, I was on tour with my best friend's band, and we weren't in the state. We were actually in California in this border town, El Centro. And after our show, a friend of ours said, "Hey, let me drive you out into the desert because there's a meteor shower." Oh, nice. And I was like, "Yeah, sure, whatever. Sounds cool." I have never seen anything like that in my life. It mm-hmm. was incredible. It's like pictures don't do it justice. So even just being able to get out of the city and out of the light pollution to see the stars, it blew my mind. Mm-hmm. Like I would love to have an opportunity to do that again in Colorado. So
Paul, we know Bree's stance on camping and we know my stance on camping, but are you a big camper?
I like the one night camping trip. Yeah. Megan and I will have planned these camping trips in the past where it's multi-night and we'll always look at each other on the first full day in the afternoon at some point and be like, "Are we really going to do this again? My back kind of hurts."
But you're a tent guy. You'll set up a tent and sleep in a tent?
Yeah. I'll sleep in a tent. I'll enjoy it for a night.
That's great.
But yeah.
I mean, something that we love to do too is even if it's not camping, getting up to the mountains, because Willie's a fly fisher mm-hmm. and we like to fish the Big Thompson. I'll at least share that with you guys. It's not that far. It's like an hour and a half drive. It stretches, you know, pretty far geographically. It's right out. It runs through Estes Park. But even if it's not a specific river, we like to drive up and just find a good place. Anything that looks like it'd have good like hammocking trees, and we'll set up a hammock. I'll bring my book. We'll pack a little lunch and we'll spend the day, you know, sitting in the river, reading in our hammock. It's just such a great way to spend a summer day. And again, like there's so many places that don't offer that within an hour drive, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's just so cool. It's why people come here. Like it's a good reminder to me, like the things that we shouldn't take for granted. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, you know, a lot of times when I'm driving, I forget I'm looking at the mountains, you know, like, or just in the city. And I'm like, wow, those are really close. It's a beautiful opportunity that we have. And summer is just one of the best times. Like, Pei, you and I have talked about this. We both also love like mountain towns, right?
Yes.
Like, yeah. Even just taking a day to wander around Estes Park. That's so fun in the summer.
That's a big one for us too. Like, yeah, you're only an hour and a half drive out. And Estes is one of my favorite places to go. Grab some taffy, grab some ice cream. You'll almost always see elk in town.
They have a river walk. It's beautiful. Yeah.
And if not, you know, and if you have the time and you want to do a weekend getaway, I'm like a huge proponent of just doing a little two night, even one night getaway to places like Steamboat or Breckenridge. Or if you want to make a whole weekend of it, go to Telluride. Like, we have it's a whole experience, right? And it's just a short drive away.
Yeah. Yeah, so and cool. The mountains are just as cool in the summer, I think.
Oh, I like them better.
Even if you're not a, like, you know, I'm not a hiker, I'm not a camper, but just going to another town, mm-hmm. getting out of the city.
Get some fresh pine air.
Oh, it's great.
In your lungs.
Sometimes you'll catch a local festival, you know, there's all sorts of things. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Estes has an astronomical observatory I've been meaning to see. Also, I have to say that, yeah, there's like a beautiful family story behind it. There was like a mother and a father who lost two of their kids, and so then they built this observatory as like a tribute, so some a memorial to the kids they lost, and like it was a family thing that they enjoyed doing together.
Wow.
So I've always wanted to get up there and
all of my
meet
trips
those people.
To Estes, I've never
heard that either.
Yeah, I mean it's something you don't really think about. I think when it comes to Estes Park or the mountains, and the mountains aren't like the best place to see stars, but it's really more the plains are better. But yeah, I really want to see that observatory and.
Oh
visit
my God, me too. That sounds beautiful.
Breed, you got one more for us?
Yeah. I've talked about it a little before on the show, but I love nighttime bike rides in the summer. Mm-hmm. It's a really great way to experience the city. We have, you know, I would say the bike trails are better during the day, but even at dusk, riding down to Confluence Park, we, you know, we live on the west side, so, you know, we'll ride over just to Raíces, mm-hmm. Get a beer on the patio or whatever.
Great patio.
What do they have there that I love? I think they have Jarritos or something. They have non-alcoholic options, which is nice. But riding around the city is really fun. And I think, again, when we're talking about getting more people out of their cars, a great way to get used to riding is not just to think of it as commuting, but use it as recreational in the city. And then you kind of get more comfortable navigating the city itself. But like, I mean, the Platte Trail runs along Elitch Gardens at night. It's so cool. It's just a really great way to see the city in a new way and enjoy being outdoors. And I mean, you can take the trails all the way up to Golden. There's just so many options. And we did that a lot during the pandemic, but summer's definitely the time when we ride our bikes over to Sloan's Lake. I mean, literally anywhere in the city.
I have one question and one comment.
Yes.
The first question. How buggy is it? I've noticed, and this might just be where I'm riding out in the burbs, it's buggy when I ride at night, and I don't love that.
I would say it's buggiest at dusk, especially if you're near the water. Okay. So if you're on a water trail, it can be kind of nasty. But I don't know. I guess I just kind of ignore it because I even get that. We walk our dog at night around Houston Lake Park, and it's real buggy. So if you want to avoid the bugs, I would say don't go at dusk.
Go after. That makes sense.
Go at night.
And then my comment is you're lighting up though, right? You've got your reflectives. You've got your...
Because
there's nothing worse than when I'm driving and somebody wants me to hit them with my car because it's pitch black and they're on
the bike.
No,
I feel you. Yeah, no, definitely being well lit. Not just so you can see where you're going, but so cars can see you. I agree. That makes me so nervous as when I'm driving. It's like, I'm trying to give you space, but if I can't see
you. The amount of times that a biker has literally come out of nowhere and I'm like, dude, put on some reflectives because you almost just died.
And there's tons of options. I mean, I would give a shout out. Our favorite bike shop is Yop Cyclery on Sheridan. They've got tons of options for reflective gear and lighting and stuff. They also just do great work working on your bikes. They're super quick, they're nice, they're pretty affordable. But yeah, definitely please, and also wear a helmet.
Yes.
My gosh.
How's the lighting on the South Platte Trail?
You know, it depends on what parts of it you're in. Mm-hmm. So I would say there are some parts that are really well lit and you're fine. There's other parts that feel a little shady for sure. Still. I'm thinking more like, again, we will ride down into the city and around Elitch Gardens and around Confluence Park and then come up and maybe get ice cream or something. And where those areas are that have kind of been more developed in the last couple of years are usually better more well lit. Mm. But when you go back towards our neighborhood, it can be a little bit sketchy for sure. So that's also why I kind of recommend riding with somebody else if you can, mm-hmm. just because it just feels safer. But I've never had any sort of situation on the bike trail I had someone almost run me over, like people that go super fast, but I've not ever had any situation that made me feel unsafe.
Yeah.
I do think that's one of the best parts of summer, though, is the stuff that you get to do at nighttime that you don't get to do during the winter. Like even just night walks. 100%. We do a lot of night walks. Night hikes. That's fun.
I've never done a night hike.
Cool. It's just everything just feels different. It's just like when you're biking in the city at night, the city looks and feels different. You can night hike and it's a different experience. The trees feel different. You've got the stars and the moon overhead. It's cool.
It's never occurred to me to do that.
It's
cool. That's such an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Huh. Night hike.
Mm-hmm.
And
pack
also
some snacks, pack some layers. It's fun.
Yeah, totally. I was going to say, even just like, we'll go out for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we'll go and we'll ride to eat somewhere or something. But
especially when the daytime
snacks.
It's so hot, going out at night,
too hard.
It's a whole new experience. It's cool.
Hmm.
Now I'm excited.
It's a cool way to get to know the city or neighborhoods that maybe you don't go in that often or like you don't live in. I ride around a lot of neighborhoods and that's how I get to know more about what the sort of built environment looks like. Say, you know, in Congress Park or somewhere that's pretty far from my house, but by bike, it's not that bad. So before we wrap today, something that I wanted to talk about, but we realized we want to save for a bigger show is swimming. Pools. It's one of the things I love about summertime is pools. But Paul's mentioned this before. There's a shortage of lifeguards, so not all of our indoor pools are open this summer, but all our outdoor pools will be open in the rec centers. However, there's got to be other places. And I really want to know where you all are swimming. Like, where are the other places that you can swim that are either in the city or city close? So give us a call, 720-500-5418. Leave us a message with your name and neighborhood and your favorite place to swim. You can also text us or you can email us, denver@citycast.fm. But we want to hear from you because we want to do an episode on epic pools.
That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. Our producers this week were me, Paul Caroli, and Lizzie Goldsmith. Peyton Garcia writes our morning newsletter. Bree Davies is our host. Our music is by Los Mocochetes with additional mixing by Tyler Lindgren. If you haven't already, subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter @CityCastDenver and tell a friend about us the next time you see them. You can sign up for that daily newsletter I mentioned and learn more about us at denver.citycast.fm. See y'all on Monday.
Bye.
All right, well, shall we take a quick break and then come back and do another round?
Yeah.
Do you all want like a proper break or should we just get right back to it?
We can get right back to it.
Fine, yeah.